Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
Rappahannock Area Health District in this morning, Mary Chamberlain from the Rappahannock Area Health District. Mary, it is great to see you. Good morning.
Good morning, Todd. It's great to be here.
Boy, I get the numbers from you every day,
yes.
Every morning about 10 o'clock, or give or take an hour or so, that you compile everything. And boy, they're high. They are coming down some. It does seem, just from my observations, they're coming down some, but they still are just super high in my mind.
They are. They're very high. We went very high to the nth degree, and now we're very high. So we're still not in a great spot, but we have some encouraging signs. So I'm holding on to that optimism right now.
It is. It's the percent positivity now is low 30s.
Yeah, that's about right. I think yesterday it was about 34%, 33.6%. Right,
yeah.
Yeah,
so that's there. The hospitalizations, I think, were in the 180-something, which to me was just and that's even a little bit lower than it's been. But to think about those in terms of, those are people and those are families,
yes,
and those are a lot of beds in this area among three hospitals.
They are, and my benchmark that I've kept in mind has been the day after Thanksgiving, there were 39 people hospitalized among our three hospitals in the Rappahannock Area Health District. So when you look at that, and then you see, 185, I think our high was around 215 not too long ago, but still, that's quite a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow, that's interesting. I had not looked back like that. I had for a while. I would look and compare things week to week.
Right.
And you could see, but boy, that is that Thanksgiving benchmark. You think that some of this Omicron is obviously very, it transmits very quickly and easily, but also when you think about the holidays and you factor that into it.
True, the holidays and the fact that it's cold outside and we're inside now. We're not outside enjoying activities that keep us a bit safer in the fresh air. We're all compacted indoors. So there are a lot of variables, but yes, Omicron is very, very transmissible.
Boy, and we certainly have seen that. And I don't think any of us were expecting or were ready for the numbers that we have seen this month alone.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we expected a surge, but that can be kind of a broad word. So just an increase in cases, hospitalizations. Fortunately, we're not seeing the increase in deaths, which speaks to the vaccinations doing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's encouraging. We are still losing community members, family members, unfortunately. We want to get to a place where, obviously, that's just not something we're even talking about. It's super rare, but the death tally is not the same as it was this time last year, so that's good.
And it is hard, because I know the other day there were six deaths, and I know some people said to me, wow, and a lot of that is reporting those numbers, and so it's hard to know when a lot of these things happen. It wasn't six deaths just the other that happened in just one day. There's a lag time, I know, with some of the reporting.
Correct. And I try to put that information up when a report shows that many deaths on one daily report. I make sure that there's information that goes along with that lets people know this is due to reporting. On the same side of on the flip side, if you're seeing zero deaths in a day or a couple days, you can't really assume that nobody passed away the day before.
Right.
But, we look at averages at the end of each month at this point, because it does take a little while for the reporting.
But, Mary, it also seems, and we have said this really from the start of the whole COVID situation, it just affects people in so many different ways, because I still know I still know people that are still passing away, and some very sick. I've got a friend who's very, very sick right now.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And so it's not as though we talk about the Omicron is not quite as powerful, or you know, all the different things that are out there. It is still, like you say, the deaths are still taking place, and it is still affecting people in some really serious ways.
Sure, and the hospitalization numbers show that. You
right.
know, that's a really big indicator. You know, cases are one thing, but when you see so many people that need care in the hospital due to COVID-19, you know that that's serious. And yeah, you don't know how it's going to affect you. You just don't. And one of the things that I've tried to message is that we've heard that Omicron is more mild than mm-hmm. the previous variants, including Delta just before it. Mild isn't really a good word to use. It's less severe. And that might seem like tomato, tomato, but it is important that, you know, the verbiage is important. And people, you know, we've been hearing about COVID for so long now that we're really just tuned into keywords, sometimes key phrases. Mm-hmm. So mild is not one I like to use, just because people will grab that and run with it and perhaps not be as cautious as they need to be.
That is, I'm glad you said that, because you hear the word mild mm-hmm. in any situation. You just think, oh, okay, well, that's, I can handle that.
Sure.
And a lot of us can, but a lot of us, or some, can't, and that's
right.
That's the situation. And one of the things that we will, whenever you come in, we always talk about the same thing. Of when we talk about these things, there still are from day one of this, the basic things that we all can do to set ourselves up to stay healthy.
Right. So right now, one of the most important things, obviously, we've been saying this over and over, we will continue. Vaccination is key. And now we know that the boosters are key as well. So the CDC has actually revised its wording on, instead of fully vaccinated, they're now saying up to date on vaccination, which means you've had your booster as well. So so it's important to be up to date on your COVID-19 vaccination. And wearing a mask is still very, very important. The CDC had established some guidelines some time ago that in areas of substantial or high transmission, they have some metrics that establish those levels, that you should be wearing a mask in indoor public spaces, anybody age 2 and older. So that hasn't changed. We do know that there are some masks that tend to be offer more protection now. The social distancing is still important too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yep.
My husband and I actually went into, we're getting brave now. We went into a restaurant not too long ago. Well, actually, we've been into a couple restaurants. We walk in fully masked, but we evaluate the seating and we check out how many people are in the restaurant. And we feel okay if we can find a quiet little corner where there's like really nobody around. You know, we kind of go in off hours too. We don't go right at the dinner hour or the lunch hour. So we're still, we're being very cautious about things like that.
That's a great idea, though, because mm-hmm. my wife and I ate out last weekend, and it was in, and we weren't, now that I think about it, we were not doing it intentionally, but mm-hmm. we were kind of off to the side. There was nobody around,
right.
And we felt fine.
You felt fine, exactly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too long ago that my husband and I were, no way, we have to go to restaurants where they have outdoor heaters or something.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're a little more flexible, but again, we're still assessing the situation before we decide that we're going to eat in a certain restaurant.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, those are because you're a thinker. When you are out in public, you really have to be, like you said, you're kind of evaluating things.
Right, right. And you know, I mean, it's really not a bad thing to have that little bit of extra caution. For us, it's kept us safe. My husband and I have not gotten COVID, knock on wood. We are fully vaccinated and boosted, but we can still get COVID. We
yep.
know that.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, have we gotten lucky? Is it because of some planning? Probably a combination of both.
Yeah. Nope. I'm in the same boat that you are, but if we are in the same boat, we're separated. We're not going to get close to each other.
We're 6 feet apart in that boat.
Yes, we are. It's a bigger boat.
On either end.
Mary Chamberlain with the Rappahannock Area Health District here. They have a terrific Facebook page that you can follow and get all kinds of good tips and information and share on your own Facebook page. And you can see the numbers each day, too. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
These are the voices.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mary Chamberlain here with the Rappahannock Area Health District. The Health District, a great Facebook page. You have done a great job over the time, Mary. I mean, you pull in information and just a lot of good things from all different sources. And one of the things, you had something up in the last day or two just about masks, right? That I thought was interesting, because I know I have a... I think all of my masks are cloth masks, right? And basically what you had posted was, it's time to sort of rethink,
right,
the kind of mask that you have.
True. So we're finding that the N95 masks and the KN95 masks offer more protection than cloth masks and even the surgical mask. KN95 masks and N95 masks can be a bit cost prohibitive for quite a few people because they're not cheap. I found them online, kind of in bulk, but they're still expensive.
They are.
An alternative is the much less expensive and very easy to find surgical masks with a cloth mask over it. So you can still wear your cute cloth masks.
Oh, okay.
And have that double protection. Mm-hmm. So that's a great alternative for people as well.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know it was over Christmas, my son-in-law had gotten some N95s. They'd gotten in bulk. And so he kind of jokingly said, hey, I'm giving these out if you want them. And I laughed and said, nah, not interested. Mm-hmm. A few minutes later, I thought, I might like a few of those.
Right,
so I backtracked and went and got them. In these days, it's good to have a mask with you just because you don't know. Because I have gotten caught wanting to go into a place, mm-hmm, and then realizing or seeing a sign that's asking you to wear a mask. I haven't had one, so we either have to walk back to the car or not go into the place.
Right, and it's nice actually. The KN95s that I carry with me, they fold really flat too.
They do.
They're disposable, but they fold flat, so they fit really nicely in a pocket. Not that cloth is too cumbersome, but it's bulkier, when you put it in your pocket. So, and you're right. My husband and I were just visiting an area outside of here, and just walking down like a main street, every other business had a different rule or protocol. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to be prepared. And in an area of high transmission like we're in, and pretty much the whole state is in, you really need to be wearing a mask anyway when you go in a public space.
Especially in these days, and if you are going to be around people, mm-hmm, it's just good protection.
I agree. Yeah. Pretty much you just can assume that everyone around you has Omicron. And so, just protect yourself that way. Just think, okay, somebody's carrying, this highly transmissible virus. And if I get it, it may be very mild for me, maybe like a cold, maybe I won't have any symptoms, or maybe I'm going to get really sick. So I've always said it's just not worth the risk. Protect yourself.
Now, like we were talking about in the last segment, just the number of hospitalizations make you see where, when you talked about, don't refer to this as it's mild,
no,
just because the hospitalizations and the number of people that are on ventilators now is
absolutely
is frightening. And when you hear Mary Washington healthcare people talk about not having access to them, or just so many different things. The numbers are high enough that you do need to seriously consider wearing a mask like you did before at times.
Right, and hearing from Mary Washington Healthcare has done an excellent job of posting their data most days, and I really like sharing that with our Facebook followers as well, mm-hmm, and Twitter as. Because it gives people an idea of how many people are hospitalized who are not vaccinated, are fully vaccinated but not boosted. It's a really, really good infographic that they put out. And they're the frontline workers, so they can speak to what they're seeing.
Yeah.
They can speak to the level of seriousness and the level of care that some people need who have COVID in their hospitals.
And it has shown that when they first started doing those graphics, they were stunning, because mm-hmm. at first, towards the end of last year, most of the people that were hospitalized hadn't been vaccinated. Now you see more people that have been vaccinated, and it's a wake up call that just because you've gotten the vaccination or just because you've gotten the booster, you still need to be careful.
Absolutely. It's one level of protection, and we've talked about levels before. So it's a very, very important level, you know, layer of protection. But you still have to be cautious right now, especially with Omicron. So it's something that I know people probably are tired of hearing me say over and over, whether I'm talking about it or writing about it or putting together cute pictures about it. You know, we have to think about protecting ourselves and protecting the people around us. And, you know, for me, it's just not a big deal to wear a mask. We've been doing it for all this time. Mm-hmm. You know, there are countries who seasonally people, their residents wear masks to protect themselves from viruses like colds and flus, you know. So it's just not that big of a deal, in my opinion.
Well, and in this kind of weather, when you have to, even though your glasses will sometimes fog up, right. When it's so cold outside, it's just like having a scarf on.
Actually, you're right. I was just, visiting Winchester, and it was a really, really cold day. And my husband and I were going in and out of some stores, so mask on, mask off.
Yeah.
At some point, we're like, no, I'm just keeping this on because it's really cold out. I thought, well, this is handy.
It is. So there you go. The health department, I think, yesterday announced a change, because we've talked about contact tracing.
Right.
And, boy, I've always felt, I mean, that's the one thing that when you've had to do that, or anybody's had to do that, I know in the school nurses and things like that have had to do it. That's a time-consuming kind of thing, and I think this came from the state health department some of the guidelines for contact tracing are changing.
They are, and because this information just came out, we're starting to get a lot of questions about it. And so, to put things in perspective, the Rappahannock Area Health District, we have been in priority mode with contact tracing for some time now. During the surge, we cannot possibly connect with every person mm-hmm. who may have been exposed. So we've put out some messaging about that and asked people to help with contact tracing and be responsible on their own end. You know, take some accountability, contact the people around you if you've tested positive. You know, do the right thing. Also, the COVID-wise, the app for your phone, that's an excellent resource. So it works. I can speak to that personally. I was somewhere and got a notification that I was within 6 feet of somebody for more than 15 minutes who tested positive. It was in a public space. I had a mask. I always have a mask. But I got that notification every day for 10 days. And it basically told me, you know, to watch for symptoms, and here's the date that you may have been exposed.
Yeah.
So COVID-wise is excellent. And again, contacting your own close contacts.
That was on my list to ask you about COVID-wise. Mm-hmm. So that still is, because in the early days we heard about that,
right.
And haven't heard about it as much. But I assumed it was, but that's still out there and an option.
It is an option. It's still out there, and it's one of those things that you have and you don't think about it until you need it. You know, we have so many things like that in our lives. And when I got that first notification, I said, "Oh my gosh, I forgot I even had this on my phone." Wow, it really works. So it definitely does. And the more people who have it on their phones, obviously, the better the app is at helping us with contact tracing, if you will.
And a good reminder, like you just said, if you do test positive, or even if you know of someone that's tested positive and you know it's someone you work with or have been around, or, you know, maybe were around in some situation, let them know.
Right. Right. That's all. It's really simple to do. And unfortunately, Ted, sometimes even our contact tracers, case investigators, when they reach out to people, there are people who are reluctant to provide names and contact information for their close contacts. So we sort of hit a wall with that. So if you just want to, on your end, mm-hmm. if you just want to privately contact people, you know, great. That helps stop the spread.
So. It's good to know, just because then that will stop the spread, because especially with this variant, I've heard of so many cases, and especially like parties or kind of get-togethers over the holiday.
Right.
And afterwards, you hear that, you know, 19, 20, 25 people all got sick.
Yeah.
And that does show you that this spreads so easily.
Right, right. And again, you know, I can't stress this enough. Maybe of those 19 or 20 people, most had mild symptoms or maybe no symptoms at all. But even if just one or two of those people ended up, you know, being really sick and in the hospital, that affects an entire family, maybe an entire community. So you just don't know.
Yeah, no. Again, we know what to do. We're all tired of this. We
yes.
totally are tired. I mean, if you had told me in the early days of COVID that we would still be now coming up on 3 years talking about it.
Right.
I would have said, no, I don't think so.
I agree. None of us expected this. Even working in the realm I work in, I didn't expect this. You know, COVID still has all kinds of surprises. So, fluid has been my word. I thought it was my word for 2020. Then I was like, well, I'll carry it into 2021. Now we're into 2022, and it's just still my word.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you're the one for me that has been, because I get an email from you most mornings, mid morning, with the numbers,
right.
And as they started going up, you would just, you know, give me like an uh-oh, or
right.
this is concerning, or something like that, and so I'm sure that it. In this, especially when it started going up in January, you started looking at it and wanting to even double check it of, can these numbers possibly be right? Because they were just so much higher than they were back in even in the early days.
Yeah, we hit pandemic highs with our cases and hospitalizations.
Yeah.
And we certainly didn't think we'd be saying that this far in.
No.
It's been very eye-opening. And one thing to think about, we do feel that, based on what we're seeing in our health district and even in the state, that we have hit our peak. And we are starting to decline. We've hit a slight plateau the past week or so. But again, you know, you want to look at things 14 days out, maybe, you know, not.
Yeah.
I encourage people not to look at, not to, to take, to stress too much about the daily numbers. They can be very alarming, but it's a 7-day average. The report I put out on Fridays, it's more, it fleshes out the averages,
mm-hmm.
And then even 14 days, and then even at the end of the month. So it's averages. Those numbers shouldn't change our behaviors one way or the other. You know, we should still be doing everything we can to stop the spread of the virus that causes COVID-19. So, if you're looking at those numbers to make decisions on your behaviors, I encourage you not to do that. You know, continue to do the things we know to help keep us safe.
That is good advice. Mary Chamberlain with the Rappahannock Area Health District here this morning. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. A big change likely coming to your money, and you'll hear about it this afternoon.
The Federal Reserve is expected to announce it's raising interest rates for the first time in 3 years in response to soaring inflation and an overheated economy. The rate hike would come as soon as March.
ABC's Monokosar Abdi, the first rate hike expected to be 0.25%. Bystanders who watched as George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis nearly 2 years ago testified.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Mary Chamberlain here this morning with the Rappahannock Area Health District. And always at the end when the music is playing and I'm rushing, and I sometimes remember and get it in. But, boy, all of you, thank you for all that you do. Because in some ways, a lot of the work of the Rappahannock Area Health District, you are sort of kind of back to normal. But you're not back to normal just because this continues
right.
to take up everybody's time.
Right. It was. I remember the word normal started slipping into our our conversations, team conversations in the summer. I think it was like, and there were lulls and it was like, wow, what do we do now? This is nice. We had to ramp back up, unfortunately, but we have such an amazing team, people behind the scenes you wouldn't even consider, you know, our outreach workers, our epidemiology team, which is like schools, long-term care, any congregate settings. There's so many people who put so much time and effort in to keeping us all safe. So
it is. It really is a team, and they're really in is a focus a lot on the frontline people at the area hospitals and all, and they truly are tired, but. Mm-hmm. So are you guys.
Right. Even somebody you might not think about, like, so the reports that I put together each day in a pretty little package, we have a data manager, a data team mm-hmm. behind me who is providing that information. And so if it weren't for them, you know, I may not be able to provide that information to the public. So it is where we're truly a team. And I constantly have questions for everybody on different teams. And they're always willing to help me understand so that I can help the public understand.
Yeah. One of the things, and we are so fortunate here, the vaccination center over in Central Park
is it's
easy to get to. Even now, if you you can make an appointment, you can walk in, you can get a vaccination, you can get a booster, and it's available.
Absolutely. And we're still seeing some pretty strong numbers with boosters, which is encouraging. And we continue to see first and second doses as well. So it's a very valuable resource for us to have. And as you mentioned, it's so easy. And it's so easy to get in and out. And there's so many things you might be doing already in Central Park mm-hmm. or could do. So it really fits into most of our lifestyles very nicely.
So that has been a great addition. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as testing goes, what are some of the options if someone all of a sudden if this afternoon I don't feel good and I need a test? Because I know that there was for a time it was really difficult,
very difficult
to find something, and people either had to wait a long time, either had to wait hours and hours and hours, or even days to get something.
Right. So we're really, really excited about our new community testing center, which is run by the same vendor, Ashbritt, who runs our community vaccination center. Mm-hmm. So CVC and CTC now. So the community testing center is set up at Fred Nutt's ballpark, and that is appointment only. But it's very easy to get an appointment. Appointments generally open up the day prior to a scheduled open day. So again, Monday through Thursday for that. And it's a PCR test that you'll get. So that's still our gold standard. So there is a few days turnaround for waiting. We still ask people, if you're being tested because you've been exposed or think you've been exposed or you have symptoms or all of the above, just go ahead and take the precautions you need to while you're waiting for your test results. It's an excellent center, and we're really excited to have it here. Again, so easy to get to. In and out quickly. We've heard nothing but good things.
Now, when it was announced that in pretty much the areas that got like we got with the vaccination center
right.
would get this testing center, I
right.
just thought, boy, we are very fortunate in this area because other people in the health district or some nearby health districts would have to come along. If you're like in Orange County or something, you're coming a long way to do some of this stuff.
It's true. I think there are, we have 9 of the testing centers set up across the state. There's also the USPS request you can make for tests per household.
Yes.
Which is important for people to do as well.
I did that last week. Good. Takes about 2 minutes.
Good. Yeah. It was
even
actually,
less.
It was really
quick. I was very, very
easy. I was
really
surprised. And I actually even expected maybe some crashing on the site and all
yeah.
that. No, everything went really smoothly. So waiting for those to come. So it's peace of mind. You'll have mm-hmm. those test kits in your home.
Yep.
And I have a little tip that I learned from somebody else that sometimes there's a little glitch if you're in an apartment complex and you put your address in and they're like, no, you've already gotten tests because they go by residential address.
Right.
So the little tip was to put your apartment number or unit number first in the first line of address and then the street address second. You know how they have.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. So if anybody runs into that problem.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really helpful tip. So.
That is a good idea.
Yeah, so people don't say, oh, this is so frustrating and they're not letting me have it. And then they just give up. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Because I saw it here. I think I got a press release on it.
Yeah.
So I immediately got it. Mm-hmm. My wife had seen it later in the day. She'd gone to sign up. And in our case, they saw that the addresses match. So she knew I had gotten it. But
right.
If you run into that kind of a situation,
right,
it's nice to know that there's a
just
way around
case.
That.
Yeah, whenever I see little tips like that, I think, oh, that's so good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want things to be frustrating to people. We want it to be as easy as possible.
Well, and that will be nice, too, because if you are in a situation of either you get word that someone you work with or someone you've been around has tested positive, you've got something right there at home to be able to take a test right away.
Right. Or even, you know what, maybe you're visiting a loved one in a long-term care facility, or you're having, you know, you're spending time with friends or family in your home who don't live with you. You know, do a quick test. Everybody's good. We're good. You know, everybody's safe. So that, again, having that peace of mind is important. So I look forward to everybody receiving those tests.
In December, we went to a wedding and we were requested to take the test. So I got one of the tests from the library.
Yes.
And one of the ones, this was one of the tests where you do it all with someone watching you.
Right.
And that was easy.
Proctored.
Yeah,
right,
it was.
Right.
Yes.
Right. I think it's wonderful. It's really helpful. And then that person reports your results.
Right.
So, which takes that pressure off you too. You know it's done. So, yeah. So that's, you know, that is something. We know that there are a lot of people who have taken at-home tests and they're not reported. So when you look at our numbers, that's another reason I say, you know, the daily numbers don't always give you everything you need to see as far as cases. Just be careful regardless. Don't, you know, regardless of what those numbers say.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we also have for federal programs, we have the mask program rolling out now as well. So there's a federal stockpile of N95 masks being released to the public. It's important for people to know that the health departments are not going to have masks to distribute. There's some verbiage from the federal government saying that healthcare centers will have them as well as pharmacies, not health departments. And those healthcare centers are right now few and far between. I think the closest one to us is Alexandria. That will change over time.
Okay.
CVS and Walgreens are the big pharmacies that we know will be getting them. And we're just awaiting word for our area. But each person can get up to 3 masks. So it's not per residential address at this point. It'll be each person.
Okay.
So really, you know, it's wonderful to have this extra layer of PPE. And to be honest, I really find the KN95s that I've been wearing much more comfortable than my cloth masks.
I agree. That when I got some of those from my son-in-law, this really is it felt tighter too.
It just I prefer it. So, and I know it's a preference, but you know, I'm hoping that people will realize, oh, this isn't so bad, because I think there's been misinformation out there about them harder to breathe in and harder to fit and uncomfortable and whatever, but I have not found that at all.
No, I didn't have to adjust it. That was the thing. Most masks, you're always having to adjust it, and
true,
it comes down, and it's just annoying.
That's a great point.
And,
yeah,
and these just kind of stay in place.
They do. Yeah. So I've totally shifted. I mean, this is what I will wear regardless. So.
I hope it's not. This morning, one of the sports sites that tries to sell me things, and I often fall for things.
Uh-oh.
A year ago at this time, they were always pushing masks,
yeah,
but I haven't seen that in ages. And then this morning, all of a sudden, boom! Something they popped up. So I thought, I guess that they're seeing that there's people must be buying these again, or
right,
there's a just in the times we live in. So
right, and I think it's important too when you tell the public, hey, we have new guidance about masks, maybe Yeah. These masks are quite as effective. Here's the mask you need to use. People can get so overwhelmed, like, oh my gosh, well, I just invested in these, or I have all these masks.
Yes.
I thought these were okay. Now I have to get these. Which one should I get? And, you know, so I'm happy that the federal government has stepped up to release this PPE so that people know, okay, this is from the government. This is what we're saying we should be wearing.
Mary Chamberlain with the Rappahannock Area Health District here this morning. We talk about numbers and just the transmission mm-hmm. numbers. How do you figure all of that stuff out?
So that's a great question. We use the CDC guidance. The CDC has a great page. You can actually pick your county, your state. You can see, you know, what your transmission levels are. Everybody's red at this point. Red is not good. So we're in high transmission. The transmission levels range from it's low, moderate, substantial, and high.
Okay.
We've been in high for some time.
Boy, a long time.
All of our localities, so not just RHD as a whole. So what's important to note, let me look and see. For new cases per 100,000 of a population, to be low, which is where we want to be, obviously, we need to be below 10. So fewer than 10 people per 100,000 gets us to low.
Okay.
And if you think about one of our localities, like, say, King George, who has 25,000 people, there's some math involved in that. They don't have 100,000 people, but it still applies. So for us right now, as a district, our per 100,000 7-day average is 137.5.
We've got a long way to go,
We have a long way to go. We're getting there. That number has been steadily coming down. But when you think about that, it makes you realize, oh, gosh, we do have a long way to go. So we, again, still need to be careful. And then as far as the other metric that the CDC uses to determine the transmission risk is the percent positivity in the past 7 days. So they don't look at percent positivity on Monday and grab that. It's a 7-day average. And they want us to be below 5%. We probably remember that number from way back when.
Yeah.
Right? When we start getting to 5, we kind of wring our hands a little bit and so lower than 5% positivity rate, and right now we're at 33.6%.
I know, I always think of that because in those early days when Dr. Stern was the health director at the time, and I remember doing shows with him, and he talked about when you get around 10, we worry.
Yeah.
I'm looking at 33.
Yeah, we were at a high of about 45%, and you know, what that tells us also is that we're not able to test everybody we need to test. You know, we knew that was a problem for a while. So, you know, and the Rappahannock Area Health District also still maintains free testing events. So those are on our website mm-hmm. and Facebook page as well. Those are excellent events. In right now, we have Dixon Park, Stafford Hospital. We're in Ruther Glen. We're probably going to phase out our Dixon Park location just because we have the testing center in Fredericksburg.
Yeah, in the city.
So
yeah.
We want to have, you know, we want to be spread mm-hmm. out a little more. So we'll probably get out into the more rural areas. But those are excellent as well. And those are also PCR and get your test results in a few days.
Mary Chamberlain with the Rappahannock Area Health District here this morning. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Yay. Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mary Chamberlain here with the Rappahannock Area Health District this morning. Before we get out of here, you look back, you look at this, and like you say, the numbers are starting to come down.
They are,
and there really is hope. You think of where we were a year ago at this time. We were talking about, because I can remember having shows with you and Allison, mm-hmm. and it was like the vaccine will be here soon,
right.
And you know, maybe by spring or early summer, a lot mm-hmm. of us will have had it. And so we are making progress.
We are. And summer did look really good last year, didn't it? I mean, the numbers were great. We started to take a collective sigh of relief, and we'll get there again. Just keep in mind that when you peak with cases, when you have a surge, you're halfway there through a surge. You have to come back down. And how quickly we come back down, mm-hmm. maybe plateau along the way, is dependent on a lot of things. And for me, the most important is our behavior. So it's human behavior has a lot to do with what's happening with this virus. And I found a great word. I'm a wordsmith. I love really cool words. And so I found this one that I thought really applied to what's going on. It's meliorism. So it's a Latin word. Uh-huh. And it means, it's a noun that means the belief that the world can be made better by human effort. So I thought, this is perfect because it really speaks to its behaviors. You know, mm-hmm. How we behave really has a lot to do with what happens with this virus. So that's going to be my word for, I don't know, maybe 2022 with fluid.
So what's the word again?
It's,
how do you spell it?
Here, it's M-E-L-I-O-R-I-S-M.
Okay.
I-S-M.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard it or I've never seen it even written down.
Right.
So.
I hadn't either, which is always so exciting to me when I see a new word. And when I see a new word, I can apply.
Right. Well, we always talk about it when you're here, Mary, about, you know, we know what we need to do, whether it's masks or washing hands, social distancing,
right.
All of those things.
Right.
That's gonna be your best bet. At any point. And then with the way the transmissions are, you may end up. I know a number of people who've made it this far and then have gotten sick.
Right.
It does happen.
Right. And I have heard some of our very trusted experts say that you will be confronted with Omicron at some point. Statistically, you'll be confronted with it. How protected you are, how you're protecting yourself is what's mm-hmm. going to matter.
Yeah.
So, you know, Omicron could have faced me down so many times without my knowing, but I had my mask and I was staying farther apart from people. And, you know, of course, I'm vaccinated and boosted as well, so I'm up to date on my vaccines.
Like you said, I think one of the great things you talked about was Omicron is less severe, but it's not. Don't be saying it's mild.
No, it's not mild.
Because we have seen that just with just a lot of people still are. There are still too many people that are very, very sick.
Exactly. Right. Yep.
Well, thank you. Thank you for what everyone at the Rappahannock Area Health District is doing these days, and all that you do. And we'll talk again next month, and maybe okay. next month we'll have maybe the percent positivity can be in the teens or something
right,
like that.
Right, right. I keep joking with you. I want to come on and just talk about like recipes or
oh, I
you
know. You could talk about
something
your
fun.
Talk about your horses or
yeah.
your photography.
Horses and birds.
Something
yeah.
like that. Mary, yeah. thank you so much. And
thanks okay,
for
thanks
what
for
you
having
all do. And
me,
again,
Ted.
Check out the Rappahannock Area Health District Facebook page. Great, great stuff every day. Mary Chamberlain with the Health District. Stay safe. We'll see you in the morning. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.